Kevin is a pastoral advocate here at Tierra Nueva. He's also the pastor at Mount Baker Presbyterian Church out in Concrete. He's working with the local municipality, organizations like Community Action, and area ministries to better serve the people on the margins out there. This podcast is the full version of the sermon he preached on the morning of his commissioning.
Good morning. I'm really, really taken aback by how many people are here. This is really amazing. Thank you. When you start down a journey like this, you know that there's support, but you never really know how much until everybody shows up at once. You know, because you have your own little dealings with everybody, right? You know, I deal with the church members in session here, and I deal with Mike individually, and you know, might have a dinner with the Caprins or something like that. And this is just amazing. Thank you. I've never felt so loved in all my life. So I don't have a big, long, drawn-out sermon. Prayed about all week. Prayed about today all week, and asked just, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to illustrate what you've done? He goes, I just want you to tell the people about the changes that I've done in your life. And then there is no better way to do that than with my lifers, which is, for I know the plans I have for you. Danielle and I, when we were in the middle of our addiction, we were up in Bellingham and we fallen on hard times. You know, it was just horrible. And we really needed help with gas. And she'd gotten a hold of St. Vincent's de Paul, a Catholic charity. And we went to a Catholic church in Fairhaven. And as we're there, Danielle is dealing with the lady who worked in the church office. I was just walking around in the breezeway. As I'm walking along, there's this little whiteboard, and it says JER2911. And honestly, I was high. I was all spun out. I was walking around. I'm like, oh, I'm going to write that down. Because the numbers, the address in that verse was very significant. And so as we're there and we get the gas voucher and we go and get gas, and I have this piece of paper and I stick it in the cab of my truck somewhere, and we're going along and I tell Danielle about it, and I was like, oh, I found this Bible verse when we were getting that gas voucher, and it said JER2911. And she's like, is it from Jeremiah? I'm like, I don't know. Is there even a Jeremiah in the Bible? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, but the reason I wrote it down is because that's the last four of my social security number. And I'm like, and that's why I wrote it down. I'm like, that's why this address means so much to me. It's because it's a piece of me. It's something that I identify with as who I am at my core, right? Without that number, we're nothing in American civilization, right? As we're sitting there talking about it, I'm like, yeah, and I'm going through all my paperwork. We were tweakers. We had paper everywhere. And I'm going all through it, and I'm going through it, and we can't find it. And this gust of wind comes through the truck. And sure enough, right out of the dash, that piece of paper lands on the seat right between us. I'm like, oh, crap, there it is right there. I look over at her, and her eyes are the size of dinner plates. She goes, we need to figure out what that verse is. And in Burlington, there used to be a Christian bookstore at the outlet mall. For some reason, we used to like to go there in the middle of our addiction. I don't know. We were just like, oh, this God stuff is cool. You know, it's so shiny. And we'd just go. And as we're there one day, we're looking through things. And all of a sudden, Danielle walks up and hands me this book, and it says, for I know the plans I have for you, Jeremiah 29:11. I froze. I melted. And I cried. And I walked up to the cashier and I told her about what happened. She's like, you've just been touched by God. So that was the first time I was ever touched by God. He came out and said, hey, you know what? I have different plans for you than what you're doing. Did I listen? No. No way. Huh? Not yet, right? But you know what? That little book is what sowed the seed to get me to where I am today. Because it was in that little book, it's about this big, it fit perfectly in my back pocket. So I took it everywhere. And where I was in my addiction, I always had all kinds of different colored pens and pencils with me that I used to circle or highlight or underline or do all kinds of fun things with or color pictures with. And so if you look at that book, the outside is completely tattered and torn, and the inside is full of color from all the times that I'd read it and I'd underlined it. I mean, there's inspirational quotes in there from Winston Churchill, all the way to Dr. Seuss, all the way to Jeremiah 29:11. And as I prayed more and more about what I needed to talk about today, God definitely wanted me to share that story, but he also wanted me to tell you about the changes that have happened in my life since that day. Since that day, I've had a total rebirth, a reawakening in him. I never understood who he was. I was always afraid of him. I always knew he was real. I can remember being a little kid and just repeating over and over in my head, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God, even though I didn't know who he was. And as we weave and go through our addiction and all this stuff happens, Danielle and I, we get arrested and we go to jail. And as we're sitting there in the jail and we're reading the Bible, Jeremiah 29:11 kept coming up. It'd come up in like our daily breads or, you know, whatever devotional we could get our hands on. Or sometimes it was the only Bible verse that I knew, so that's what I'd go read while I was in my cell. And that was the first time God ever really started speaking to us. Then after we got out from that time in jail and we came together for the first time, we started talking about reading the Bible and what we were doing, and then we found out we were reading the same passages. So God was talking to both of us the same way at the same time. It was God's answer of my first ever prayer that really got me to where I am today, with the help of people like Mike, Alan, and Bob. I was camping outside of Trinity Presbyterian. Most of you guys know where that is. Danielle was on house arrest at her parents' house, right around the corner. And as I'm camping there, my nights consisted basically of getting some kind of drug and taking it back to her house because she was on electronic monitoring. And that's the way it went for about a month. And then she woke me up one day and goes, I'm pregnant and I'm going to the doctor. And so I quickly ran out of my sleeping bag and everything, and I went chasing her, got on the bus, and we didn't talk. We didn't talk at all. We got to the doctor, and we had Peanut with us, our little 2.5-pound chihuahua. And we go to go into the doctor's office, and I can't even take Peanut in there with me because the staff is worried about people with dog allergies. So I go outside, and I couldn't even be in that first appointment to figure out if she was actually pregnant or not. And she comes out and I'm pregnant. And we didn't talk. We went, got on the bus and we went to Higgins and we didn't talk. Got on the bus and we went back to Trinity and we didn't talk. And we sat down in that area where I was camping. And that's the first time I ever really prayed something other than, get me the hell out of this. And it was, God, if you really want us to do better, if you want us to be in a better way, if we need your help, we need to be forcibly removed from this so we can survive this, because if we're not forcibly removed, then the baby's not going to survive and we're not going to survive. We fell asleep and we were woken up by the sheriff's department. And then they ran our names, and for the first time in a long time, I came back clean, but she came back as on home monitoring and they wanted to take her straight to the jail. And I'm going, God, not like this. This is what I asked for, but not how I asked for it. Cool, thanks for listening, but not like this. You know, they took her to jail. And so for the next month, I was on the streets doing my own thing. My next month consisted of getting money on the phone so she could talk to me and doing what I needed to do to survive. And then one day, I showed up at Tierra Nueva, and there's a guy there by the name of Julio. One of his greatest attributes is the ability to reach out and reach people who are suffering in the ways that he once suffered. And Julio was really the first person to reach out to me. See, I'd known a bit about Julio, and he came walking across the street one day. I had a broken leg and I was in a wheelchair, and I'm like, are you Julio? And he's doing the, you know, looking around because he wasn't sure who I was. And he goes, yeah. And I was like, oh, I've talked to you on the phone. And he goes, the first thing he says is, hey man, you want a burrito? I'm like, yeah. And he takes me over to Antojitos and buys me some food, and then the storekeeper buys me a soda. But it was that simple gesture that really started the relationship between Julio and I. And so I kept coming around the church and I kept telling him stories about Danielle and how we were so in love and all this stuff, and how she's pregnant with my kid in jail. And God really worked through Julio to get to me. Because God is constantly going, I want that man. regardless of who you are, where you come from, or where you've been. God wants you. And so God worked through Julio. He came after me. And during that time of me coming to meet with Julio and coming to Psalms here and there and just coming around the building, I started seeing something in people that I really, really wanted. I had no idea what it was. Everybody there had this way about him that was attractive. It was sexy, and I wanted it. I didn't know what it was, but I wanted it. And so as this goes on, I decided to go and do a drug and alcohol assessment on my own. And I went and did it, and I came back. And in the back of the Tierra Nueva parking lot, there was this broken down box truck. And that's where I went and made my bed for a couple of weeks. And I stayed there and I didn't leave. It wasn't until I told somebody else the story that it really resonated what God was doing and what I was doing with God. But when I went and stayed in this parking lot, I was seeking God with the heart of a child, because that's the only way I knew how to. Because on Burlington Hill, there's a cross that lights up at night. And I thought, because I was sleeping so close to that hill at night with that cross lit up, I was safe. And then as the nights would go by, the trains would come by and you'd hear their horns going. And my brain associated it with the Lord's trumpet scaring all the evil spirits away. So as I stayed there in that parking lot and sought after God with the heart of a child, the only way I knew how was, like, there's this big picture of what resembles God to me on this hill lit up at night. It makes me feel safe. And then there's this train that comes around that annoys everybody but me, still to this day. I'm the only one that loves that train, especially when it comes through a service. I'm just like, yes! Mike's sitting there going, oh, I'll go by. And I'm going, yes, louder! Because it takes me back to that place. It takes me back to that place of where I first wanted to give up and do something different. And as I spent that couple of weeks there in that parking lot, and I started seeing that light in everybody else that I know now is Jesus, I decided to take a step further and do something I'd never done before. I decided to trust people. I decided to let people love me. And I decided to listen to people who knew better than I did. So all through this time that I was on under this box truck, Julio kept asking me, hey, do you want to come stay on the couch in the FSC? You can. I'm like, nah, man, that's cool. It's cool. There's people who are already clean and sober in there, and I didn't want to be that guy that pushed them over the edge by sleeping on the couch. And then I finally accepted his offer and started staying on the couch. And then that's when I really had my first interaction with Alan. And Alan sponsored me on the couch for 2 weeks. At the end of 2 weeks on the couch, I told Alan that I was going to do all these things, and he just goes, well, let me know how that works out for you, which pissed me off. And it kind of stoked that fire inside me to make me want to go, oh, what, you don't think I can do this? And I did. I came back to Alan in 2 weeks, and I'd done everything that I said I was going to do. And I said, my 2 weeks are up, so do I have to leave? What's the deal? And he goes, oh, well, let's talk about it. And in a very Alan non-committal way. And then he comes up to me a little bit later, and he goes, well, Kevin, if you're going to continue to stay here, we got to give you a drug test. We got to make sure you're clean and sober. I'm like, okay. And in this new change, that was the first time I heard the voice of the enemy. Alan and Julio both gave me the drug test, and as they're waiting for the results on the strip to come back, I heard the enemy telling me, you know it's going to come up dirty, even though I hadn't used. The lie I wanted to tell myself and listen to was that it was going to come up dirty and I needed to run away. And just as I'm about ready to go back inside the building and grab my stuff, Julio comes running out, gives me this giant hug, and says, you passed, bro. I'm like, well, did you have a doubt? You know, I just kind of spun it right back around. Like, well, did you have a doubt? You know? And that was the start of this new life. That was the start of this new foundation. And that was the start of God doing something that was above all of us and more than we could ever understand. So over the last 4 years, Danielle and I have continued to seek Jesus in everything that we do, from our everyday life to our parenting to just how we interact with people. And it's never easy. Sin is easy. God is hard. We, for the first time in our lives, take the hard road in everything that we do. by choice. It's because that's what we want to do. We want to follow God. And without all of you, none of this would be possible. Without Mike being my Genesis counselor and teaching me how to pray, Alan running the trust, Bob for planning the dang church all those years ago, I would not be here today without God working in your guys' lives, just as he's worked in mine. So thank you, Jesus, for everybody here. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in me. And thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do, because it's not over yet.
This podcast is an audio companion to our fall 2018 newsletter, Setting the Oppressed Free. You can read it, request a hard copy, or listen to other pieces on our website, tierra-nueva.org. Thank you for listening to the Tierra Nueva podcast.